You're listening to Pod for Ham, a podcast from The Incomparable that's all about the musical Hamilton, taking it one track at a time through the original Broadway cast recording. Every episode features different groups of interesting people talking about a single track. Visit us on the web at pod4ham.com or follow us on Twitter at pod4ham.
Graduate of King's College. I probably shouldn't brag, but dag, I amaze and astonish. The scholars say I got the same virtuosity and brains as my pops. The ladies say my brain's not where the resemblance stops. I'm only 19, but my mind is older. Gotta be my own man, like my father, but bolder. I shoulder his legacy with pride. I used to hear him say that someday I would
blow us all the way.
Welcome back to Pod for Ham. I'm Chip Sutterth, and with me are
Monty Ashley,
Casey Barber,
and Rachel Donner.
When this panel was last on Pod for Ham, we set up the tragedy, and now things get as bad as they possibly could get in Act Two. It's time for Philip, who is a poet, to write his final lines, barring the death scene in the next song coming up. But Blow Us All Away starts off completely unlike any other song on the Hamilton original cast recording, and it just tickles me every time I hear it. Can anybody whistle? I can't whistle. I dream of whistling.
I can, but if you don't want to hear it over a microphone, unfortunately.
No, that's a bad idea.
I can, but I'm super dehydrated right now. Wait, that's from the meaning of... No, sorry.
We are going to be discussing the meaning of Philip's life, so that is apt.
Yeah, well, go on with that. Go on with that. What's going on here with this goofy Andy Griffith Show whistle at the beginning?
Oh
of
my
song?
Gosh, the whistle just kills me every time too. I love the juxtaposition of this super bouncy beat, so upbeat as it were, and then a song that exists in two ways: to show how history repeats itself, but also to foreshadow the eventual tragedy forthcoming in Hamilton's own demise. So it's really cool to see how he picks out elements of four previous songs and then uses it to enhance what is about to come in the finale of the show.
I worry about the line, gotta be my own man like my father but bolder, because by this point he should have realized his father's right on the line of being too bold to live.
I noticed as I was looking through the Hamilton today in preparation for this that the words legacy, pride, and proud are repeated an awful lot in this song. So, like it or not, Philip is his father's son. Mm-hmm. And
but at the same time, he kind of doesn't know his father.
That's true.
Which is interesting.
Yeah, he's trying to live up to the image of his father he has, which is hitting on all the ladies all the time. And challenging people to duels all the time, because he probably grew up hearing the story of, we should have shot him in the mouth, like, all the time. Like, that's the dashing guy your father was. Now be that, but bolder.
This is the first time that we actually, and practically the last time, that we see Philip, as himself. Philip played in the original cast by Anthony Ramos. They didn't choose to bring in an actual 9-year-old to play the role earlier in the show. And it's really comical when daddy, you know, playing a 9-year-old and giving Hamilton a bear hug. You know, this is the first time in the musical when Philip is Philip. And we get to know him and know what kind of a personality that he has. And I think that part of what lends this song so much weight and tragedy is that we only just get to know him, and we kind of like him, and we want to see what he's going to grow into. We think he's going to blow us all away. That's what Hamilton has promised his son is going to do. And, you know, out brief candle. It's a really brief candle when we finally get to see Philip be Philip.
It's true. It's an impressive span of a song to put us through the paces in such a short time, with a character who we really have only just met. And for people who may not know what Philip's eventual end is, it's got to be a gut punch for them. It certainly is for those of us who knew it was coming all along.
Yeah. Rachel and Casey and I, well, the three of us have seen the gig. Let's talk a little bit about how it's sorry, Mondi. let's talk a little bit about how it's staged and how it's presented. It's like a montage practically. You got scene one, scene two, scene three, all in the space of a single song.
Yeah, and it's all sort of in different corners of the stage, if I recall correctly, but with sort of a seamless transition using the revolving stage.
Yes, the revolving stage definitely gets a workout in this song as it sort of spins you through the paces of Philip's brief life.
Until it finally stops spinning and Philip takes the bullet. The song starts off with young guy on the make suggesting to a couple of college girls that when he gets back, maybe we could all strip down to our socks. And there's this like cheerleader, like, okay, it's hysterical and it's light. It fits with the whistling entry and all this other stuff. But he just doesn't know what's coming. That's the thing that I take away from the first part of this. He doesn't really know what he's gotten himself into.
That's right. He's always been the golden child. And the complete antithesis of how Hamilton grew up, isn't that what happens? You want to give your kids everything if you had nothing. So he has just breezed through. He's honors at King's College. He's been prepped for a great life following in his father's quote-unquote illustrious footsteps. And then, just like his father, he runs off at the mouth, not really understanding the consequences of that.
Yeah, he's got a really romantic idea of what honor is like and how the world works, I think.
Well, look who taught him about honor. Good job, Hamilton.
Yeah, I think, you know, especially when it gets to the part of where he's talking to Hamilton about dueling, you know, I feel like he is a little nervous, but I think he's just still... He has no concept that things are going to go wrong. I mean, he talks to his dad about it, but I think in the way that he projects himself, this is just kind of dotting I's and crossing T's. But yeah, everything's going to be okay.
Yeah, he says this isn't the sort of thing they taught me in boarding school, but he's not looking for a way out of it.
Right. Well, here's a fun historical footnote. He was with one of his little friends at this play where he and George Eaker came to words, and both of them challenged Eaker to a duel, and his friend Price actually dueled with Eaker, where both came away unscathed like 4 days before the duel that Philip did. So he really did have no clue. Like, this is just what guys did, you know? Man, we just go and defend our honor.
He's a 19-year-old kid.
Yeah.
19-year-old kids are stupid, even smart ones.
It's hazing, right?
I never knew very much about dueling. This may surprise you all to hear this, that I'm not very familiar with the ways of the field of honor or anything like that. But just based on what I learned from your average Bugs Bunny cartoon, I assumed that people in a duel were trying to kill each other. And that's not necessarily the case, even when it's 10 paces turn and fire with pistols. It's backing up your words with action.
Right, just proving that you're a man. Stand there like a man.
Stand there like a man. Be willing to take it. You know, be prepared to bleed, good man, as Burr says later on. So it comes as a fairly big shock to Philip when Hamilton suggests that he delope, which is to fire off in the air.
And this is where I think there's some poetic license, given the actual true nature of the history, because you would have to assume that he's seen a duel before, and or at least know that that's an option.
He should at least know the details of the one his friend fought with the same guy.
Right. Yeah. Or the fact that he's using the pistols that have been used in duels before within the family. They were Angelica's husband's pistols, actually, and he used them in a duel with Burr a few years before, where everyone, again, came away okay.
we talked a few weeks ago about in Hurricane about Hamilton sort of arguably drawing the wrong conclusion or making his decision to write the Reynolds pamphlet based on what he needed in the moment, but it was counterproductive to other ends. The very act of Hamilton handing over his guns, those guns to Philip and saying, "Be smart, use my guns, make me proud, son. Be smart, use my guns." From my perspective, that's kind of contradictory.
Oh, I agree. It seems to me that if you're going into a duel, you have to decide what your priorities are. And Hamilton's priority for Philip seems to be, as usual, be honorable. Don't shoot him. And if he's a man of honor, he won't shoot you. If he isn't a man of honor, turns out you'll get shot and you never shot back.
But you'll die with your honor intact.
Yeah. Better to die with honor than to live without honor.
Right. But and with well, the assumption
that no one's going to die.
That no one's going to die. Hamilton says that if he's a man of honor, you'll be just fine. And that makes, I think, George Eaker is actually one of the most fascinating characters in the whole musical, because he is not playing any of the lyrical games of any of the other characters. Piss off. I'm watching the show now. I'd rather skip the pleasantries. Let's go. This guy is not playing by Hamilton's rules or Philip's rules or anybody's rules. He is not impressed with Philip, and he's just going to shoot him, and he doesn't even make it to the count of 10.
It's true.
In George Eaker's defense, I have wanted to shoot people who interrupted me at a Broadway show. If it were socially acceptable.
And they didn't even have cell phones then.
Like, they say he's on Broadway watching a show. Not a
okay,
good show.
So Philip had it coming.
Right. I mean, what if George Eaker, though, used a ticket bot to get those tickets? You don't know.
Oh, I was just going to say something about the cutting the song off at 7 was just similar to when he was counting off in the younger version of him.
Oh, right.
Kind of where the pause happened after 7.
Yeah. And in fact, and Philip will also get cut off after 7.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I think that's a callback to that.
Yeah.
For all the talk about tens in this show with the $10 founding father and the 10 dual commandments, they never
get
to 10.
Up to 10. Yeah.
No. Well, he never made it past 20. He never made it to 20.
Yeah. It's an eventful song. It's a powerful song, but it's almost sort of set up because the real power comes in Stay Alive Part 2, and it's Quiet Uptown. This is the event that happens that makes the drama of the next two songs really tear your heart out, I think.
Right, yeah, but you got to get there, and what awesome lyrics and what he packs into this is just a really great ride, as bad as the ending might be.
Yeah, I think there's interesting things going on lyrically in that the rhymes are a lot more simple here, kind of reflective of Philip still being a young man.
Right. His innocence.
And the rhymes are just obvious, as opposed to some of the more complex rhymes that have been happening prior with Hamilton and Burr and some of the other characters. So I think that is interesting about this piece. And there's so much to it, and it's so easily presented with those simple rhymes, I think is part of its genius.
Yeah, it's simple rhymes, a cheerful melody, dumb jokes like everything is legal in New Jersey.
Hey, oh, yeah. As a New Jersey resident, one of the best lines in the show.
It lures you in saying, oh, this is another fun song. Hey, we're having fun with Philip. Oh, God, no.
Yeah. The everything is legal in New Jersey line actually kind of gets me, because that's the one moment in the song when Philip and Alexander are really totally on the same page. They totally get each other in this moment. So, of course, Philip has to die.
Of course.
Oh, any other thoughts about the lyric, the performance, the presentation? Anthony Ramos does a great job with this one. Love the little quiver in his voice when he asks Eaker if he enjoyed the show.
Oh, yeah. So good. I mean, Ramos doesn't get as much screen time, I guess, stage time, as Philip, but his two songs, he really puts it all in there. You have such a full picture of this. Excellent job, Ramos.
Agreed.
Any last words, Monty?
It's good.
And I will say, for those of us who have seen it, I did also get to see it with Andrew Chappelle do Philip. It's really, really funny to see very large Chappelle.
I can't. He's a big guy. He's much bigger than Anthony Ramos. I mean, Anthony Ramos sells it
as a 9-year-old, but
Chappelle is my hero.
Was Philip going to have sex with both those ladies? That's what's happening, right?
I think so. Yes.
All right. Well.
Well, on that note,
good for him. Have some fun on your way out.
Well,
when I
get
back, we'll all strip down to our socks.
Oh boy.
Well, yeah, it's the week after July 4th, and they're in New York City. They are definitely going to be taking their
clothes
off.
Yes, they are.
On that note, before we make Jason have to add an explicit tag to this podcast, next time, consequences again. The song will be Stay Alive, reprise. Spoiler, he's not gonna. Until then, this is Chip Sutterth with Monty Ashley, Casey Barber, and Rachel Donner, and we'll see you next week on Pod for Ham.
Look him in the eye, ain't no higher. Summon all the courage you require, and slowly and clearly aim your gun towards the sky.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.